Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, welcome back to another episode, I suppose. We're doing number four. All right, we're getting somewhere. Yeah, and go on, give the introduction so I don't miss out on any parts, where you're from, what you do, what your name is for everyone.
Thanks, Matt. Paul Doherty, PD Project Delivery, based in Brisbane, from Scotland, not Ireland, but close enough.
We're all the same to an Australian who doesn't know any different, let me tell you. I know that they're all part of the United Kingdom, but not much more.
Yeah, that hurts my soul, but I'll let that one slide, right? We are a Brisbane-based company, civil engineering and construction management, but right now we're working all over the country, excluding Victoria. So hopefully after a few beers later, we might get a job down here.
There we go. Now we're talking. So tell me what PD... Project Delivery does and what that is, because I've never really heard of your business model before. Once you explained it to me, it's actually quite smart and did borderline on recruitment though at some point, but then by the time you finished it, it wasn't. It's not recruitment.
No.
Recruitment turned up quite a bit.
Yeah.
So explain it to everyone so that we can all on the same page for some of the questions.
Thanks, Matt. Recruitment's a dirty word for me, but we're similar. We're muddy waters at times.
Yeah, dirty. Yeah, got it.
I'm a civil engineer. That's my background, working with companies like Abbey Group, Lendlease, Acciona. Came through the ranks with that when I moved across here. When I broke away, I wanted to do my own thing. And to be totally honest, I just wanted to go contract, make a bit more fucking money. That was pretty much the idea. Mm-hmm. One thing led to another. I'm an opportunist and a few things came up. And then we brought on a few guys, like engineers with us, onto certain jobs. And then one thing led to another and the business idea kind of grew. There was no business plan when I set up. There was no 5-year plan, 7-year plan. It was literally just...
If you've listened to my podcast, I think they're bullshit anyway and not worth the paper they're written on. They're for bankers to sit down and say, we should approve this guy. Look how good his 5-year plan is, but really it means shit anyway.
100%.
Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing next week, let alone in 5 years.
And it's funny when you start actually running a business as well, people think you've just got everything, all your shit together. And when you're inside talking back to them, you're like, fuck, I don't know what day of the week it is. I don't like that. But it's good that you think I know what's going on. Cool.
And so you brought along some engineers, and then what's the services that you offer? Who do you offer them to?
Yep.
What jobs you doing?
Yep.
I'm letting you give yourself a little bit of a pump.
Oh, I'll go, mate. I'll go to town. Don't worry about that. So we service pretty much... When we started, it was more North Queensland, Central Queensland, mainly because that was about 2018. The FIFO was quite heavy at the time up there. So we done like engineers, construction managers, PMs and supervisors. That was the stronghold. And we got into tier one jobs. So like your ASIO owners, your CPBs, like the downers, that was kind of our clients. Why you choose us over like a recruitment company would be exactly because I'm an engineer. I've done FIFO for up to 10 years. I get it. I understand what these people do on a job. I understand that personalities work on a job, not just the smartest resume and shit like that. So there was a bit more buy-in. And also my contacts on this job were always people that we'd actually worked with, or I'd personally worked with. So they knew it was on my fucking head if they weren't performing. So
and if you called and said, hey, I've got a good guy, he's most likely a good guy.
Yeah.
You know?
And I keep bigger standards than most of these companies. And I know everybody's going to say that, but it's legit. My feelings are my name's on the fucking door. If they fall over, then I fall over. But at the same time, I put someone in, they make a good name for themselves, then I'm a hero. So that kind of evolved over time. And then we started getting like packages of work to look after. So we'd have like a variation for a client. They might say we need two engineers, a supervisor, things like that. And then we fell into the client side space quite a lot. And that's somewhere I'm keen to take the business the next few years. Mm-hmm. But that's more like local councils, mining companies. They might have like a package of works, 200 million, whatever it is.
So they come to you, you just do, you know, the team in the office, or you do the guys on the ground?
We just do the team in the office at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
It is evolving constantly at the moment, and we've got some decent big plans coming up in the next few months that hopefully will come to fruition. Again, opportunity comes alive, we jump at it, but we pretty much are the team that run the job. But there's opportunity at the moment that we're starting to run some crews, subby packages through us. And plant and machinery is something like most blokes in construction I want to get into. But
well, everyone engineer, thinks there's heaps of money in it as well. Yeah. Everyone's like, guys, the guys who own the trucks and diggers are fucking rich.
And the thing is, like, anyone that knows me, changing a tire is a bit of a challenge for me. So I'm running big yellow gear.
You're mechanically minded.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah. So being that kind of guy, I've had to develop a bit of a team around me. So we're growing way faster than I ever thought we would. Mm-hmm. I remember I have got like everyone, a financial advisor, a business kind of coach that is on my level. And the goal was in 2018, five blokes, or five workers through the business. I'd be set for life, I'd be happy as Larry. We literally doubled the business in the last year. We're sitting around a comfortable number, I'm at 35 spread out through Australia. But that number, like last year, fluctuated up to close to the 50s and stuff like that. It gets a bit intense, a lot of personalities, a lot of people. And what I'm finding out now is logistics. So we've brought on a bit more of a management team to support the business because I can't be everywhere. And
well, you need a management team to manage the managers. Is
pretty accurate, yeah. You know. And then when you start stretching yourself, as you know, you think you can do everything because of 5-minute jobs, and then you make an ass of all of them at once kind of thing. So I got humbled a few weeks ago, tore a disc in my back, picking up a fucking toy in the house. And the penny dropped from your heart that what happens if I get hit with a bus tomorrow? So like most business owners, you start going, I need help and I need it now. So,
yep.
But you need to find the right people, which is big, because no one loves your company like you do. That's what I'm finding.
That's a challenge that I've been through a lot over the years. You can see my office and everything else like that. And so what we're running out on site, and you have these challenges and they're big ones.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned before the business advisor. The business advisor that's on your level or slightly above it or been around to know what is like a good fix, a bad fix, knows how to plug a hole, because there's sometimes you just need to plug a hole, like, you know, put a Band-Aid on it, not actually necessarily do the surgery, just put on a Band-Aid and keep going.
Yep.
Then other times you need to have the longer range plan, you know, where you're looking up, so that you know what you want to do, how you want to do it, where you're looking to go. Are you looking to go to 50 blokes? Are you looking to buy the machines? Are you looking to move into the, you know, the labour space as well? You know, so that you have everything from the PM to the engineers to the supervisors or whatever order you want to put them in, all the way down to the guy holding onto the shovel. That'd be quite good if you had them all dressed in a PD top. They're all part of the same team.
Yep.
I can see how that would be a real benefit to have on site under one roof.
Yeah, and calculated risk is everything. Like, I know what I'm good at, and that's why the management side is something that we are pretty strong at. So I don't want to play in fields that we're not going to be excelling at, dropping the ball elsewhere. So it has to be calculated risk, but at the same time, if I see an opportunity, I'm going to grab it. Sometimes I need people, what smart people around me, to just rein me in sometimes, because if I'm excited, we're fucking going gung-ho at it.
I know that when I get a rush of blood that it can be challenging for everyone around.
Yep.
You know, I've had a few business deals fall over, cost myself shitloads of money. I've put a lot of money in the bin for the rush of blood. So you just need those people to hold you back. But then also everything is a two-sided coin. So the very people that are holding you back, are they the ones that you really aspire to be regardless? And if they're not, then are they holding themselves back as well and then telling you, oh, no, 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 don't go and do that because, you know, you don't do on-site work. You do the office stuff and you go, oh, yeah, but you don't do shit. So don't tell me what...
That's, you know. That, when I first started out, I'm only 34. When I started out in 2018...
Fuck, you look 40.
Yeah, fucking feel 50, trust me. I was a bit concerned because I'm like, the imposter syndrome, everybody gets it. I know it's normal, but I'm quite a confident character. But I remember starting going, fuck, people are going to look at me and go, I'm not taking the advice off someone that's fucking just doing a nappies kind of idea in the perception of the construction world. But then you got new jobs, and this is what always blew me away. I've never claimed to be the smartest engineer, far fucking from it, but I know how to talk to people, I know how to get people on side and work with people. That's probably my strong point. But then you work with some people on jobs, and you're like, how the fuck have you done this same job for 35 years, and you don't know what way is left and what way is fucking right? And it blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And I realised that just asking simple questions, I'll be the idiot in the room asking the simple question.
Yeah, but we were talking before about the challenges around accountability and, you know, how do you make people accountable? And these days it can be quite difficult, especially on those big tier one jobs.
Yep.
So you have the absolute killers. We know them. You might have been one, but you know guys who have started off, they've walked into that office and they may as well be serving the coffees. And then 15 years later, they are bang. They are general supers on a, you know, $250 million job. Now, when they were serving coffees, you knew that they weren't doing the coffees for long.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the guys who have been hanging around forever and you go, yeah, but, dude, like, you're still holding up your hands like this and going, yeah, L, okay. You know what I mean? And that's what you talk about, the people getting the right ones in. Yeah. Like, I've got some killers who work for me. You know, I had one accounts girl, processed all of the receivables and payables, didn't need anyone else for $20 million, just over $20 million, one. All inbound, all reconciliations, all payments, all everything done every week, pay runs on Wednesday, never missed one.
Yep.
Killer.
That's about pride or self-pride of 100%. Doing the right fucking thing.
And there was no chance that I was ever going to make her accountable to her job because she was more accountable to herself and what she took care of and everything else for it. But now if one girl took over 20 million, I would love to see how much, you know, each person, the breakdown is of what I've got now compared.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably 1/20th. No, maybe not 20th, but maybe a 10th or a 5th, but whatever it is, it's no way 20 million each.
Yeah, yeah.
But you need them also. So you got these different levels in business, and as you're building up, you know, like your first hire is the most important hire you'll ever do. Your 100th hire doesn't matter as much, but you still need them to produce and everything like that. And it's just this, I constantly talk about these flip sides on the coin. I constantly talk about the different sides of things because I've learned over the years around the balance. You can't expect everyone in an accounts to process 20 million.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you do, you're not going to have anyone in accounts for long. I was just blessed that I ended up with that one.
Yeah.
And so you can't expect every, you know, engineer to know his left from his right. But
personality is a big thing for me. Not like, he's a good bloke, he's a good chick, whatever that is. For me, personality suits a job. So depending on if it's a tier one job that there's 300 people on it, or it's a tier three kind of company that came to me and said, we just need a solid engineer, solid supervisor to run a $10 million job. That's not the same guy and the same girl. Like, it has to be a good fit. Definitely. And that's really, really important to me because I'm like, I don't want people to fail. And if they fail, I fail. And it's like collectively everyone together.
Did you used to go out yourself under these as a...
My first job when I set up PD Project Delivery, and this is the shit that I bitch about a lot, that people won't do the hard yards. They want to be the PM, they want to be the director, they want to work 3 days from fucking home and one day at yoga during the week. Like, nobody wants to do the hard yards. My first job when I set up the company was out in Roma, Western Queensland. No phone reception 90% of the time. I was a PM on a job that was about 10 million and it was loose. It was pretty loose. It was for Origin Energy, but it was like a big earthworks dam with scrapers running. It was exciting. I loved it. I was on the dozer at lunchtime ripping up through the meadow. I was having the time of my life, but it was hard work. There was a lot of personalities, a lot of fucking crackheads you had to deal with to get them going. People don't want to deal with that now. They want to just do their job and that's it.
I was telling you before that I had a guy during a couple of weeks ago, he DM'd me. Hey, mate, want to change your careers? What's your stuff? Would love to have a job. I said, cool. I love people with a bit of, you know, enthusiasm about them, whatever else, ABC. He's like, I live in the southeast. I'm looking for a job half an hour from home.
Nice.
So you need an opportunity. You want to learn. What you're offering is enthusiasm. What you're offering is hard work. What you're offering is to be the guy that's there, you know, because you're not offering the skills, the drive it, anything, the experience on site, you know, the knowledge or anything.
Absolutely.
But all you're willing to put out is half an hour. And I spoke to him a bit more and I said, when I had no work, a guy who works for me now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Now, I actually had a job on a beach, rebuilding a beach.
Oh.
It was 2 hours away from my house. Lived with my parents. Back then I was quite young. And we started work at 6 a.m. So I used to drive, used to wake up, leave my house at 3:45 in the morning, drive down there. Loved it. I actually met one of my best friends down there every day. Me and him would get some chips and gravy. But that there is like, I had the knowledge, I had the skills, I had to do whatever else. I just didn't have enough work. And so what did I put out $35 an hour. I got paid as a subby to drive these guys' machines 2 hours away from home. And there was never a problem. And I'm sure the thing out at Aroma for you, it wasn't even a problem. You look back now to create the comparison.
Absolutely.
But when you're there.
That's what it is, man. That's what we do.
Yeah, like...
And that's my biggest thing. So I mentioned to you before, ironically, we sponsor some engineers from Scotland, England, Ireland.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, oh, crazy idea.
My gosh, that's so unexpected.
We've got a great partnership with a company over there, Contract Scotland, they're called. Free shout-out for them. And what we do is, like, they've got guys who are working over there. So they're not green engineers or green people. They're just, obviously, never stepped foot in Australia. They all want to come across here. I went across there in January, did a bit of a spiel, pretty much just showed a picture of a fucking beach and said, do you want to move here? 15 of them booked a flight the same week and came across.
No way.
Mate, mental, right? But what I've noticed with them, and I'm very biased, and I know it sounds like a sales pitch, they come across and they're very hands-on over there. So they're like, the engineers now do like surveying and stuff like that. So they're really on-site, putting pins in. And I tell them, put your survey gear away, get the calculator out, you're doing dollars by the hour, linear meters, whatever it is. Everybody wants to know money here. So it's a wee bit of a teething process we do with a mentorship. But what I tell every one of them is, I don't care if you've worked for 7 years back home, you're probably going to get a lesser role here, still earn more money than you were over there and good money here. But go and earn your stripes for that 3-6 months. Once you do that, the world is your oyster. There's so much work in, like, even Queensland alone, but Australia right now. Mm-hmm. Don't be so selective on the title, or I need to work in Brisbane, I need to be... Gold Coast or stuff like that.
Man,
just open up to it, man.
Imagine. I'm looking. I really want to change careers. Earth moving is my passion. I want to travel no more than 30 minutes or 15 kilometres in circumference of my house. Or is it radius? Whatever one. I can't remember my maths. But, like, you got a circle there in the middle in the bullseye and they'll only go 15 k's around. And you go... You got to be fucking kidding me. Like, what do you mean?
So, like, I don't want to say I'm an old man, I'm 34, but what I'm noticing, like, I spoke a few weeks ago on LinkedIn, and it really got to me. We had we do a lot of work down the Gold Coast from Brisbane, which is like 45-minute drive. And I've got civil engineers looking for work, and I'm saying, Gold Coast, Coomera Connector, Tier 1, fucking exciting stuff.
Got you happy a gig, days. Man. Let's go.
I don't want to put them kilometres in my car. Too far to travel. A train in the afternoon. Traffic shit. I'm like, how many bridges are you building in your driveway? How many fucking roads are you building in your street? Like,
yeah.
I don't understand. You sign up
to
this world.
Do you have a TBM parked in your shed? Because if you're a tunnelling engineer, guess what you're doing?
And I
you're
get
going where they're tunnelling.
We've all got people with kids and stuff. I get like, the work-home balance. I'm all for it. But when you're at a young age, you earn your stripes.
Oh, well, I think that's just what I meant by the people who are going to be the general supers. Like, the funnel has to lead up, yeah, until it gets to a project director level, let's say. But the funnel has to lead up. You got the 1,000 people down here, you got 500, 250, 150, and then onwards.
Yep.
The people who go up are not the ones that are saying, I don't want to go 45 minutes in traffic.
In contradiction to that, the thing that scares me the most is I go to a lot of them Queensland Major Contractor Association, like networking things. They talk about the pipeline of work, very exciting. You might have heard the Olympics get mentioned a few times.
No way, yeah. The Olympics. You bring people from UK and the Olympics? We've got to touch on everything here.
Everybody talks about how much work and how exciting it is, but they talk about how under-resourced we are. Like, they're openly saying we don't have anywhere close to enough people to do this. What that tells me is, we're going to have the wrong people, I'm trying to say my words very perfectly here, the wrong people in senior positions, which is just asking for doomsday for all these projects that will just blow out. Oh, they'll be fucking good people getting the shits.
Like, I think that, I think if anything about Victoria has taught us, the blowouts don't really matter no more. Like, if we're calling a spade and talking turkey, blowouts don't mean shit as long as we can do a nice press conference and, you know, I don't know, paint a bridge green. Just, then we're
as long as the buzzwords are there, sustainability, stuff like that, we're good to go.
But also at the same time, we need the sustainability. We don't want to be it is a good thing. But I think that, like, I've gone to some meetings and people have said, you know, price is not the most important thing here. And you go, really?
It's dangerous.
Really? Tell me more. You know, what part of the price doesn't matter? And they're like, oh, no, the price still does matter. And you go, well, I'm getting mixed messages here. Can you just tell me what matters, please? Because we got a few buckets we got to fill. We got, you know, social procurement, sustainability, environmental, you know. Plus we have to be able to deliver. Like, we got to be able to send you the trucks. If I can't send you the trucks, it's no point being incredibly sustainable. So now, you did touch on something before, which you didn't write down that you wanted to talk about.
Hit me.
Yes, you ready to rock and roll?
There you go.
Your business club that you are part of.
Oh, I knew this was coming.
Yeah.
How good?
Because I think that most of them, I'll say my words nicely here and I'll try and really zone in on it, a wank.
I think you said circle jerk. Is that what you said?
I said they're a circle jerk of people who are going around and just, you know, feathering their own nest, but, you know, putting a gold star on their own chest and saying, like, I'll rock up. And so, like, g'day, Jimmy Star.
I know where you're going with this, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it because I felt the exact same way. So I don't have any, like, fucking profit share with one life club or anything.
So your one life, there's one quite life. A few of them. There's
CUBs.
So United Club of Business. Which one? The Club United Business. That's CUB. Yeah. So they've been, I don't know how many people they've got doing their sign-ups.
It's annoying,
but it feels like at CUB, I understand you're there, you exist. But gosh, like, I reckon I've had 20 different people on LinkedIn.
Yep.
But not one. Mm-mm. It's no good with one. We're talking multiple reach outs. And then I ended up getting, like,
you're a big name though.
Principal person, whatever. But I went there and years ago, my missus had said to me then that go down, you know, you don't have enough friends, you don't have enough hobbies, all you do is talk about dirt. She'll complain about me doing hobbies later, but then I went down there and we had a good chat, nice facilities, nice this and that.
Yeah, but
like, I don't need a meeting room in the city.
Yeah, or a private bar.
Or a private bar. Why would you want that? Like, you know, I barely have enough time to go on holidays with the people I should be going on holidays with. And then they're like, oh, whatever it is per day or year or month.
Yeah.
But tell me what you think of it, because you have a very different opinion,
I do.
We started off the same.
Yeah, so 100% what you said is the exact same. So where we got with the business is I was growing pretty quick and I was getting to that stage where you get to that line where everybody at the start when you set up a business is like, I can go on you, good on you, lad. Fucking, I hope everything works
good
out.
Paul.
Then you start getting it and people start reserving, but like, look at this big shot. Look at this fucking wank shin. But anyway, that happens and you let it go by and then you get to that stage where when you're at a barbecue, when you're at a function, whatever it is, you feel like you don't want to complain or vent to people who aren't doing what you're doing, or you don't want to say that things are going well either, because then you say, like an obnoxious prick that's talking about how good life is.
I had a big problem with this. Big problem. One of my good friends was complaining about the rego increase in the cars. So we were paying at that stage, I don't know, truck regos are $10,000 a rego, $12,000 a rego. We were paying maybe $100,000 in regos a year. You know, when he's complaining, and it's all good. But then I can't say anything about the $100,000 worth of regos.
Who did?
Because then I'm a wank.
Exactly.
But if I don't say anything about $100,000 worth of regos, I'm not a good friend either, because then what am I doing? Sitting there, I'm not his psychologist, I'm his mate. You know, and the regos has gone up, it's bullshit. You know, the regos went from 600 to 900, and that's fucking rubbish. Because mine went from 60,000 to 90,000, and it's the same. And I'm not trying to put down your 600 to 900.
No, it's perception, though, it's relative to your context or what
you're
doing.
But you know what? I didn't say nothing. And it's actually quite sad. And it's what this podcast is eventually going to move into, about not just business owners, but upper level management and, you know, go-getters of the, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, who are starting to become into these big jobs, big positions. And then you sit there and your best mates complained about $600 to $900 regos, and now you're isolated as shit.
Yep.
Can't say anything. You're a wanker. You're not being a good mate, because now all of a sudden you're withholding and you're really lying.
Yeah.
You know, it's a form of lying.
You actually find yourself reserved as a character, and you seem similar to me in the sense that there's not too much reservedness in us.
Nah.
But you feel obliged to not be overpowering.
Well, I'm not looking to belittle him or bring it down or make him or take away any part of, you know, that $300. Because he wasn't complaining about the $300. He was complaining about the government taking
Correct.
All that money.
Yeah.
And, I agree.
But it changes the dynamics of your conversations.
Correct. And the roads are shit. And if we're paying money for extra 50%, I ain't seen no potholes being filled. Yeah. You know, like the roads have still got weeds next to them.
Yeah.
You know, and so then you join the club.
Yeah, so that's where I'm getting at. Like, and then I feel like my family back home, but they're very supportive of the care and the love, but they don't get it because they don't do what you do. So you don't go to them for advice. And again, you don't want to overwhelm them with your problems either, because your problems might seem very overwhelming to someone who doesn't know what you do.
Yep.
So I was kind of in that space where I was like, I kind of, not like to talk to someone, I wasn't like that, but I just felt kind of a path where I was like, fuck, it'd be good to kind of link up with other people. And I'm very good with other business owners, even companies that are similar to me. I make a conscious effort, be very supportive to them, be very like friendly with them, and fucking work up. There's enough food on the table for everyone, is the way I look at it, and especially in Queensland right now. So it's like, I don't need to be fine.
I don't know if you know. There's Olympics are on.
Mate, I'll be competing in them with him. I finish. Trust me.
So, you don't want to compete. Scotland don't win shit over there.
We just throw rocks, mate. Usually at police cars. But anyway, we'll move on. So that was kind of where I was at, and I was at space. And then I went to the CUBs and stuff, and not downplaying CUB to anyone who wants to join it. But I got the same vibe. I went to them, and it was just gentlemen club vibes. Old, rich, CD kind of men to the places I went. And I just felt like, this isn't me. And I'm on a bit of a health kick right now, or trying to. I was off the grog, I still am. So I was like, I don't want to go to a private bar on my time off when I'm fucking sober. What's the point of that? Mm-hmm. So I was kind of looking for something a bit more exciting. So one of my best friends in the Gold Coast is ironically Simon Beard, the Culture King guy that founded Culture King. He's his personal trainer. And he's like, mate, I've got the perfect place for you. Simon reached out to me direct. gave me the info, spoke to one of the guys, kind of sold me on it. And it's more of a entrepreneurs, business owners, which is a kind of dicky thing to say as well. But you just meet up once a month. You do advisory meetings once a month. You don't talk about what your drama is, what my drama is, and compare it. It's just a kind of, you go for ice baths and shit, the usual end thing at the moment. And then just talk shit about life. And it's weird because you'll be rubbing shoulders with a guy that's turning over 100 million that you wouldn't believe what that guy's, I would say, rolling in it, but he's probably got his own dilemmas as well. And it was just like, even going there, I've actually picked up a bit of work through it as well, which is quite promising because you're business owners, we're business owners. You're talking outside of work and then coming into the workspace, which I always think is a massive win for networking. You know someone outside of work and you go, okay, they're a decent blogger, that's a decent check of that. You're more inclined to talk to them and go, what do you do? Like, how do you run your business? Like, how is that working? You kind of get it.
So yeah, what do you think about registration? Yeah, you know, 600 to 900.
How much you been? So I went there, and I'm a bit of a property guy right now. Like, that's just a personal investment, so I'm mad for that. And one of the other co-owners is that Emil Jurasek, which is the NGU real estate owner, $100 million. He comes to every event, talks shit, does fucking little Q&As and things just about property, gives you three secrets. I kind of froth on that kind of stuff personally. Mm-hmm. And then they run these summits. So next month, I'm actually going to New Zealand for 4 days. They'll talk about AI. They'll bring in some guys. Yes, summit, I'm like, it's not all me. But for fucking, I don't know if I should be talking about prices on it, but for 15 grand a year, I've already won more than 15 grand worth of work off.
Well, hang on a second. Registrations, back to that. 600 to 900. 15 grand.
Mate, money for jam. That's what it is. So, and it's just a network where I've just kind of bought myself into. So I sound like I'm doing a mad sales pitch for it. It's not. I just have found from business owners.
What have you thought as yourself as you've gone there? Because, like, you know, some of the videos I put out, business ownership is quite isolating.
Yeah,
from,
absolutely.
Different things, you know, like we both got kids. You know, when you're trying to be a good dad, you can't be that good for PD delivery. Can't be.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yep.
When you're trying to be a good husband, you know, you, like sometimes you try and get the two to happen at the same time, but really at the end of the day, nah. And that goes for friendships, uncles, aunties, anything that it is, like it becomes a real burden to carry, and it's very isolating because then you can't complain about it to your mate because, you know, like, oh, shit, we fucked up this job. And he goes, oh, what happened? And you go, oh, I lost, like, you know, 250 grand. And he goes, wait, what? You lost 250 grand? You go, yeah, it was really terrible. But, you know, like, we didn't lose that because it's just been taken off of our claim, but we're going to hopefully work it back. And, you know, the discussions are ongoing. He's like, 250 grand.
Well, I get it, man.
Like,
and it happens, though, like, even a few years ago, I'm in a cost plus business model at the moment. Sounds amazing, and it is amazing, right?
But you are still rich. Everyone who's in the right thing just heard cha-ching.
But you still deal with clients who don't pay. Oh, you still dear. Need to pay your people.
Oh, my heart, it breaks for you. Cost plus. Oh, dear. Cost plus. Everyone, yeah, I'm playing the world's smallest violin. I'm contracting in a broken economy.
It's rough on it, so you trust me. But you talk about things like, a few years ago, we had a few dramas where we'd, like, as it always happens, you have three clients at the same time that don't pay. And it won't be because we don't want to pay you or you're not getting paid or we're dispute. Our payrolls in the Philippines and the computer said no.
Oh, we had one. We did some offshore stuff. I ended up changing it. But we did some offshore stuff in India. right? And then the power station or something blew up, or there was a tsunami or a thing. And they're like, we don't have any power to run the computers. And I'm saying to, like, they've got some intermediary. I'm sure you're like the contact or contract Ireland or Scotland. Like that.
Contract Scotland.
Yeah, there we go. Contract Scotland. They're the intermediary.
Yep.
And so I'm calling them and I'm like, go down and buy a generator and I'll pay for it, put some fuel in it because I need the computers back on, yeah? And I'm like, we've just outsourced this. I'm about to have to ring the, you know, I'm going to have to ring the office and say, you know how all of how we were trying to delete that? We're not deleting it no more. Like, I'll turn those computers back on. And they're like, Jimmy, the stores are flooded. We can't get a generator to come to a house and plug it in. I'm like, get an electrician. Like, there has to be a way. I think that that I didn't quite understand what the whole situation looked like.
Yeah.
But that's where you run into these big challenges.
Yeah. And you're, just because your revenue is bigger and you're successful to the outside eye, your stakes are bigger, your risk is bigger. Like, you can't just turn it off today and go, I've had enough.
We had a big truck accident a couple of years ago. A bit of an investigation happened, not our fault. Everything's fine. Better preface the conversation with that because you never know who's watching or listening. And, you know, like, it impacted me. And so I went out to dinner with one of my mates and I'm sitting down and I'm talking about this big truck accident because I've got a real... everyone needs to go to work, go home safe, be with their kids. You know, I know a lot of these people, you know, they worked for me before they had kids or maybe got married and they've worked their way all the way through, you know, and then something happens. Negative.
Yep.
It's a lot.
It's on you.
Yeah, it does. And it should. It's important that it should because otherwise you're a dick. Like, otherwise the boss is an asshole.
I agree.
But... that's tough. And then, again, you sit down, like, you need to be on certain playing fields. So I remember calling up one of my mates who's actually had a death happen from a truck driver as his. And we spoke about it. We went out for dinner three times in a week, sat down, not talking about exactly that all the time. It's not like we exchanged notes on what like my incident was and what his one was. But there's a level there, a certain understanding of something.
Yeah, I get it. And... My wife, we had some bad news at the end of last year. She's a psychologist and she thinks it's very helpful for her and I'm very supportive. That's not where I'm at right now.
Is she Scottish?
Nah, she's from Townsville, North Queensland. Yeah.
Townsville?
With the most Scottish name known to man, so Bonnie. Sorry.
No shit.
Yeah, couldn't make it up.
Yeah, I can't imagine why you liked her sitting at the bar having a schooner and then you hear someone say, hey, Bonnie, and you're like,
oh. Try to explain her name to my gran was a bit challenging. Like, it was like, Bonnie last. Oh, sorry.
We're on now. Hello, Bonnie. I shouldn't make too much fun of your wife, but yeah.
She'll beat me when I go home.
So,
we just talk about the way you can, you go with your mate and you can talk and... My circle's very, very small right now, and I like it that way. I never intentionally made it small, but over the years, it's got very small and quite intimate. But it tends to be people who I work with that you started off as a working relationship, who transition into more of a personal relationship, and they're the kind of people that if I've got a problem or something, you just phone them on the way home, you phone them onto a job site, you talk it out, and you fucking let it out a wee bit. And business owners are my go-to. So I've got a few real good mates who have been like mentors for me throughout the business thing. And if I need to just event for five, sometimes you don't, like you said, you don't even need to talk about the subject.
Nah.
You just need to just talk to someone who knows he needs to talk right now, he needs to let it out. And I think it goes a long way.
There's a lot of talk about mental health and stuff like that. There's a lot of bullshit around mental health, I find as well, especially men's mental health. I went to a breakfast in the last few years, and the mental health, they came down and they're like, oh, okay, so we're there. We're meant to be talking about the challenges of mental health. And I suppose that one way, at the time I was a little bit pissed listening to it, but now looking back, it's one way to approach it, but all they spoke about was toxic masculinity and how bad it is. And I'm like, just hang on, some of those qualities that you're putting out, I actually have, or I'd like to think I have. Not about being toxic, but about being masculine and about being male, and I'm proud of that.
Yep.
It's okay. It's okay to be proud of that. And it gets lost in that sort of thing there. And sometimes, you know, all of those thoughts and processes that they have are different than just needing to call a mate and have a vent. And that's a mental health break.
Yeah.
You know, don't necessarily need to, you know, partake in a march about it or anything and like that.
Everybody's wired different, right? Like sometimes I think I'm a bit cold the way I deal with things. Like, so I generally go, fuck, why am I not more upset about this situation? Or like emotional about what we lost a baby last year and life is distraught. I was distraught, but I handled it way more different. I just got busy, fucking drove into work, stuff like that. And that just kept me going. And people did say to me, oh, why are you going to speak to someone, stuff like that. I'm an ex-boxer. Go and hit in the bag for 20 minutes. Clears, it does the world of good. Everybody's got their music, and that's my music. I just like to go and smash out or get smashed in the head myself, and that cheers me up too. Like, I'm a bit wild the wrong way.
Well, that'll help. It might not help the brain cells, but it helps a little bit.
I'm not even Scottish. I just get punched too many times.
Now I've got a lisp, but I talk with an accent. Oh, well, that's really interesting as well. I think that it's not something that's spoken about a lot because no one wants to speak out about those things. No one wants to say, hang on a second, it's okay that an engineer needs to drive an hour to work. The thing about today's day and age is it's also okay if you don't want to drive to work. This job ain't right for you.
Absolutely.
You know, but I think that we've gone maybe a little bit too far and then we, you know, try and make everything fit around the people that don't want to drive an hour.
I agree. And the one thing that puts me off, I talked about the Scottish, English, Irish guys that I tell them about first jobs, key, earn your stripes, things like that. But see, when I first have a conversation with someone, they go, I'm looking for something that I can work remote or I can work from home. Or
FIFO. As remote as you can get, but I'll put you on a plane, you go come back for 2 weeks.
No worries. Good luck with your search. I'm just like, automatically, because I drive into one, accountability, turn up, don't be a lazy fuck, and actually give a fuck. Like, it's pretty simple. Everybody can do that. No one can't do that. And if you're not doing that, then you're not a good fit for me anyway.
We had, you would have seen the LinkedIn. I actually think you commented on it about the one that I put up about the sick days and working from home days and stuff like that. Fuck, did I cop some? I opened up my LinkedIn and I had, I think it was like a big night or day for me to not open it. It is like over 50 DMs. And I look at all DMs and respond to all DMs because I'm one of those guys. I hate the little red dot.
Oh, yeah, I get OCD with that stuff.
If I can, the dot on the corner of the little fucking text box thing.
When you jump in someone's car and I've got 400 messages, I'm back out.
Funny that I'm not the same with emails, though, but that little red dot.
You can't get to do that one, though.
No, I can't get that one. So I went through it, and gosh, they're just feeding it to me, you know, like, you know, people texting me and saying, oh, you know, shit boss, you know, who expects people to work from home. And I said, well, actually, like most of my LinkedIn posts, I try not to put too much of my opinion is. However, I always make it pretty clear which side of the fence I'm on. There's no one size fits all. I'm okay with whatever's going to happen. However, if you are working from home, I expect you to work. And it's not that I expect you to work a 3 hour day. 3 hour days are not okay anywhere, you know? This isn't part-time job stacking shelves from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. This is a full-time gig. I pay full-time rates. I want full-time things. And I think that that's okay. There's a pipeline where you can get bigger, better promotions, pay rises. You can take care of more stuff. You can be completely and totally accountable for your book and what you do. Yep. We're a great place to work. But if you're sick, just be sick.
Yeah.
And if you're not sick, but you can't come to the office because there is a bit of a band there too.
Yeah.
Good, work. Or if you're not sick, come to fucking work.
The working from home, I've never been able to do. So I've done, I worked on the Inland Rail package, Parks to Narromine, first ever Inland Rail, probably the only one that actually built, but back in 2019, 2020, and it was right at the COVID area. And I was living in Brisbane. The last 3 months of that job, because the borders shut, I had to stay down there and just like work the whole time, which it was just me and my wife at the time, which didn't make it easier, but it was easier. Done the 3.5 months, whatever, straight to finish the job. That was a commitment. It made sense to me as well. What am I going back to Brisbane, hide under my bed till COVID blows over? So it was good for us. But then they said, oh, work 3 months from home after that. I was the worst person to be around. So my wife would come up to me, she doesn't work, and she'd chap the door and say, do you want lunch? Do you want this? And I would be like, do not speak to me. I'm in my office. I'm at work. Can't talk to you, but ain't social. fucking, I was just like, and then my phone wouldn't ring as much because of the job and stuff. I was like a nervous wreck because I wanted everyone to know that I was fucking working and I was at home. And I feel like everybody should have been feeling the exact same as me.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's what I mean about the 18 players, though. The 18 players, if you put them at home, they work more. They work more. They burn themselves out quicker. They get more done. They place higher pressure on themselves. They're sending emails at 11 p.m. at night. That's not fair either. So you're protecting the lowest performers and you're putting more responsibility on the highest performers. It's not an equal... fucking level. Yeah. It's unequal as, and at work, it's in the office environment, which isn't the best environment either, but it's what we got, you know? Like,
and you do see that office time, there's a lot of inefficiencies because chat shit about the box and chat shit about, again, Love Island, whatever the fuck they're talking about.
Uh-huh.
But then sometimes working at home, like work-life balance is a real thing that people think that either you're at work or you're at home. Whereas for me personally, I run a business, but also run a job. I'll go home at night and I make a point that I've got 2 hours when I get home and I'll play with my little boy Ziggy for 2 hours and put him in bed, cook dinner, and then I sit on the couch, I open my laptop and I fire away. And that's not stressful for me, that is sanity to me. Mm. Wife's not a big fan of it, working on that, but that's all right. I'm doing it to make my next day a little bit more easy. I do get shit off people saying, what the fuck are you sending me an email at 10 p.m. at night? And I get carried away sometimes.
Schedule them for the next
time. I did, but that shits me as well. You forget to hit that. So it is what it is. I'm not saying you need to respond at 10 o'clock. I'm just, that's when it's coming out the door. But work-life balance should be what works for people, not just you that are working at home or the hours finish at 6 or something like that.
It's a moving spectrum, yeah? Like some people are work-life balance is working 70 hours. Some people work-life balance is working 20 hours.
Yep.
You know, there's a hippie down the road that thinks that work-life balance is working 0 hours and taking care of themselves.
There's a few on my flight, don't worry.
You know, how they afford flights, who knows? However, but, like, it's a spectrum. It's got different levels of it, you know? Just lean into the levels. I know that your wife probably keeps the lid on it.
She does. Yeah.
But what it is she's actually quite happy for you at some point to do it also.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she won't be your wife, you won't be her husband, and that's just how it has to work. You know, I'm very similar in what I have because, you know, I used to get – we ran – I was like 2022 or 2023. I think it was 6 months that we didn't have a minute off. My company did not have 1 minute off that didn't have people on site for 6 months. Like night shifts up to 30, 40, I think maybe 40 was getting close to the max, but at 20 to 30 every single night working, 6-7 days a week. Every
good?
Yeah, money. But
who's cost plus now, eh?
Quoted works, lost heaps, never made a dollar. I'm an earth moving charity.
Yeah,
love,
yeah, that's right.
I do it for the love of the dig,
right.
Like the Red Cross.
Yeah.
But then if the phone rings, and the shit hits the fan, it's 1 a.m., 12 midnight, I'm going. Like, well, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to put, I don't know, we'll choose a number. Put, even if it's $100, I'm going to put $100 in the bin so that I can get a really great night's sleep and my company looks like shit and, you know, we're going to wake up and have a terrible night, you know, anyway.
Yep.
Of course, after a certain amount of time, I've put in place more redundancies in between me having to get up and go to the job and stand around in, you know, stupid hard hat and high vis, which, you know, we can talk about the safety side of things. I'm actually going to put up a post about fire extinguishers.
Oh, how good.
Yeah.
Never been used, but
no, I want a big. I have a big problem with fire extinguishers. They've been my thing for about 6 to 12 months. I want someone who is standing there inspecting the fire extinguishers to look at me and tell me they want my operator to run over and grab it if the machine is on fire. I want the machine is on fire. The operator jumps out of the cab, quick 3 points of contact, runs down, is about to run out of the way of the machine and goes, I know what I'll do. I'll put out the fire. Now, I'm of the
fire
opinion.
Fire in summer feels.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion, let it burn. Be safe. I want you nowhere near the fire extinguisher because I want you nowhere near the fire. We can replace a piece of equipment. The fire brigade with trained professionals are on their way. Unless, of course, I have a trained professional driving the machine or truck or whatever. But the fire extinguishers literally make it so that they're more likely to be in harm's way and be in a dangerous situation.
Under the seat or something.
And they got, like, some of them are on the back, yeah? So you're going to get out of the cab, you're going to run around the tracks, you're going to climb up a ladder while it's on fire. You're going to unstrap it, pull out the pin. Lucky it's been tested and tagged so it's in date. And then they're going to start fighting the fire.
Are they checking the test and tag before the
fire? 100%. Yeah, just checking. But that's what I mean. Like, some of it's gone. I think it's great. I think we've had a lot of less workplace injuries and you know, all of that. But at some point, it's lost some practicality. Who can tell me why they're on it? Like, you cannot tell me why I need a 9-kilo fire extinguisher on everything that cost me $400. And I'm okay with it. I'll put 100 on if it makes it safer.
Yeah, yeah. But someone set that rule and then no one's challenging it from now on.
But it cooks my lid because I also have to get a trained firefighter something, fire extinguisher man. I have to get a trained fire extinguisher man every 6 months or 12 months to come out and check my fire extinguishers.
Yep, yep.
I caught up with one of my mates the other day. He had 100 fire extinguishers that he was getting rid of at a cost of who knows how much, dropping it off. Met him for a coffee and his ute, while driving it, one of the lids had popped off and covered the back of the ute in his powder. He's like, I just don't know. He's got a big company. He's got about, I don't know, 50-100 machines. So they've done, you know, they buy them. They've got them all at the same time. So they all need to be replaced. And he's like, I just don't get it, yeah? Like, it cost me tens of thousands of dollars and I don't want anyone to ever use them. Even if there is a fire, do not use the fire extinguisher. And I can make a pretty good swims and take five and everything else like that that says what I want you to do, and not one part of it, not one step is break out the fire extinguisher and try and put out the fire. Not one. Not like it is not even there. In fact, that's a risk. So it's on the bad side of
put
the ledger.
Put yourself in danger.
Yeah. Are you a trained professional firefighter? No. Then do not try and fight the anyway, we won't get too far into that because I'm going to put up posts about it and we're going to change the tide. But I do want fire suppression. I think the fire suppression is a much better idea, that as soon as there's a fire, a bomb goes off on the back of something and then covers it and puts out the fire. I think that's a great idea. I think that
innovation makes sense.
Yep, that one makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Those fires, they're bad news. They're bad news. Don't go near the fire. Pull back. So, yeah, before we wrap up, because I think we've been going just about long enough now, before we wrap up, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Not really. Just thanks very much for inviting us down here, having a good chat, and, yeah, I like talking shit. So fire extinguishers was not on the agenda today.
No, they're not. They're just they're my pet peeve. So if anyone wants to write me and we'll go to work safe and talk about fire extinguishers on machines, I'm happy to join in. Because I think that the industry would pay millions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There is a whole industry that is put forward for putting people in danger. We actually want it to say run away from the machine in a safe way.
That's fair.
Anyway, thank you very much for coming. We got Paul from PD Project Delivery.
Thanks very much.
And thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.
Good on you, man.
Thank you. See you next time. If anyone wants to send me a, you know, DM to come on board, happy as Larry. There's some spots available for, I think it's August now. I think we're pretty full in June and July, so some spots available in August. You want to fly down, we go for lunch and have a good time. So thank you very much.
Good on you.
No, thanks.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.